a day that many commemorate, that we all commemorate, around the resurrection of Jesus. In the last couple of weeks, we've been in a series that we called Tomb Raiders. And what we've been looking at is the life of people and what happened when their lives intersected with the tomb of Jesus. They had heard that he had died. Many had seen that he had died. They had heard that he had resurrected. Some came upon this tomb, and yet they struggled. But see, the tomb was meant to have an impact upon them. And in the same way, the empty tomb is meant to have an impact in our lives. But I want to address something this morning as we dig in today. What's the big deal surrounding the resurrection of Jesus? What's the big deal about it, right? Why should it matter to our lives? And more importantly, how should it impact us? How should it impact us? So we're going to be taking a closer look at how his resurrection impacted others. Because the truth is this, friends, the Bible is actually not as foreign as we think. It's not as abstract as we treat it. It's not somebody else's story. It's actually our story. It's people just like you and me that had questions, had doubts, had challenges, had they had all these experiences in life just like you and me. And so I want to take you real quick to lay a foundation. I want us to examine some of the responses, what was going on in the hearts of people when they came upon this empty tomb. We're going to go back to a scripture we were looking at a couple of weeks ago in Luke 24, starting at verse 1. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Somebody say, thank God for an 8:30 service. Yeah, we're doing three services now, and it's great that you're here. But before you get excited, let's dig in. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, and they were bringing spices which they had prepared. This is not sazon. This is not sofrito. This is not curry. They were not trying to season Jesus. In fact, they were trying to preserve his body. They were trying to preserve a corpse, right? It says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed. I want to pause there for a moment, because in the original language, this moment is significant. When it says that they were greatly perplexed, what the scripture is telling us is that they were at a loss for words. But it was due to significant doubt. They walk into this tomb. Jesus had told them that he would die and he would resurrect. He repeatedly declared this. He warned them. He told them this is coming. And they step into the tomb and it's empty and they are perplexed. They are way down. They are at a loss for words. They have significant doubt about this. And it goes on to say that because of this doubt, right, that there were two men who stood by them in shining garments. If you read the rest of this these verses, what you'll see is that these men were actually angels, and they declared to them, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Now, for some of us, we can't relate to that, but I can guarantee you this. We can all relate to this. We seek things that bring deadness to our life. We pursue things that take from our life. We're going to talk more about that. Let's look at another portion of scripture. In Luke 24, we're going to go a little bit further, but before I read that, I just want to give you context. There are two disciples who, after these women return, declaring, hey, he's actually risen. These disciples hear this, and they go in the opposite direction. They do no investigation. They are hurting. They are struggling. They are depressed. They are mourning. They are saddened. They are weighed down, and instead of going to the tomb to see if Jesus was not there, they go in the opposite direction. They're walking 7 miles to a town called Emmaus. And it says that while they're walking on this path to Emmaus, that Jesus pulls up alongside them. The thing is, they did not recognize him. But the scripture is clear why. It says that their eyes were restrained. You know, you can be so down in life. You can be so weighed down by the things that deplete your life, that deaden life, that you miss God. And so Jesus is walking right next to them, and they can't perceive him. And he asks them, what are you so sad about? And they begin to talk with him, and they're telling him, where are you from? Haven't you heard? Now watch what happens in Luke 24, starting at verse 19. And he, meaning Jesus, said to them, what things? What things happen? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Now watch this, who was a prophet before he was Messiah. Now he's prophet. Now he's no longer the Son of God. Now he's no longer the Savior. Why? Because they're hurting. Because they're so stuck in their mess. And so he says to the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping. We were hoping. Hope is lacking now. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping that it was he who was going to be the one that was going to make a difference in our lives. We were hoping that it was he who was going to bring breakthrough and actually change my life. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, but see, besides all this, today is the third day since all these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, not them, and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. I want you to start thinking about this. What are the common threads that we see here? Let me give you one more example. It comes from one of these women, Mary Magdalene, Mark 16:10. And she went and told those who had been with him, his disciples, his followers, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. They did not believe. I want to talk to you today from the scriptures. I bring you no opinion, but I want to talk to you today from the heart of God on the topic of a way out. A way out. Tell three people, there's a way out. Tell somebody else, there's a way out. If you're online, type that, there's a way out. Tag somebody, there is a way out. There is a way out. There is a way out. I want you to notice that as long as these disciples, these followers of Jesus, believed that he was dead, as long as they sought to keep him in a tomb, to preserve his body, to find him dead, as long as they were in that state of mind, they were at a loss for words. They were in distress. They were saddened. They were doubtful. They were fearful, confused. They were without direction. Though Jesus was alive, they were in a downward spiral that was resulting in a dying effect in every area of their lives because they believed him dead. They had no way out. They were stuck. And in essence, they were dying within, and it was destroying their lives without. It was destroying every area of their lives. Now, that's what life is like without Christ. Friend, that's what life is like without Jesus. Look, I don't know your story, whether you're here or you're online. I don't know what your faith is. I don't know if you believe in Jesus, but let me ask you a very personal question, not for you to tell on yourself or to nudge somebody who came with you and say, see, I told you you needed to be here. Stop. You needed to be here. I want us to wrestle with this question. If you're not a follower of Jesus, how's life without him? How's that working for you? No condemnation, no judgment on if you believe in Jesus or not. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, we get distracted often, like his followers who were going in the opposite direction. See, we've all been there. We all do that at times. We go in the opposite direction. Let me ask you a question. How's that working out for you? The truth is this. It doesn't. It doesn't. See, it's like death by 1,000 paper cuts. You ever get a paper cut? Some of you are super dramatic. Ah, I'm bleeding. It's a scratch, for crying out loud. It's a paper cut. But could you imagine death by a thousand paper cuts? That's what life is like without Christ. It's like all these little things that over time compile and we slowly bleed out and we don't even know it. It's a slow death. It may not be a physical death in the moment. We'll all get there eventually. But it is a dying away of life. It is a depletion of all that is good. It is a hard way of life. Romans 8:6 puts it this way. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads, listen to this, to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and what? Peace. Let's leave that scripture up for a moment. What the scripture is literally telling us here is that without a Savior, we only believe one way. We only think one way. We only live one way. It's a way that where we defer to our tendency to make a mess of many things. It's death by a thousand paper cuts. It's this little thing and this mistake and that mistake. It's this bad habit. It's that wrong belief. It's this struggle and that strangle. It's all these little things that we just can't get away from. Can I just say this to you? Welcome to the club. Don't thank me. Please don't thank me. Don't put that one on me. Don't put that one on me. But I want us to think about this. Without Jesus, without our mindset, our thoughts and our beliefs set upon him, life slowly dies away. That's what the scripture is telling us here. And so let's think about this in light of the resurrection. Because you see, the reason why the stone was rolled away was not because Jesus needed a way out. The reason why the stone was rolled away was not because Jesus needed a way out. It's because we needed a way out. Think about this. These people are going to a tomb. They're going to a tomb. And tombs are reserved for dead things. It's a trap. Friends, death by a thousand paper cuts. This slow dying away where we reject God and we neglect the truth and we do things our way because it's my way or the highway, but it's no way at all because it leads nowhere. That life, apart from Jesus, leads us to a place of death. And as a result, the tomb had to be open so that we could have a way out too. Amen. See, Romans 6, verses 6 through 11 puts it this way. I'm reading this from the Message Bible. It says, could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin miserable life. No longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this. Somebody say, I believe. Yeah, this is what we believe. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. Come on and give somebody a high five. You're not done. Come on, you're not done. God is still working. God is still moving. God is still faithful. Come on and give God some praise. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again. Somebody say never again. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. But wait. It gets better. See, from now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. To you. To you. To you. To you. It means nothing to you and I. Why? Let me tell you why. Because God speaks your mother tongue. And you hang on every word. What word? Every word that God has declared over you. The scripture declares that you are dead to sin and you are alive to God. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, "It's finished." He did not say, "You're done." He made a way out. No matter where you find yourself in life, you and I have a way out. We have a way out. You know, there's a portion in scripture where Jesus gets wind of the fact of a good friend of his, a guy named Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. He gets word, hey, your friend Lazarus is sick, and Jesus, it takes him 4 days to get there, and when he's on his, while he's on his way there, he's talking with his disciples, and they're thinking that he's done, he's dead, it's a death issue. And Jesus says, I'm telling you plainly, guys, this is not unto death. He's going to live. They didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't believe it. So Jesus gets there, and when he gets there, it's a sorry, sorry situation. Everybody's crying, everybody's wailing, everybody's mourning, everybody's down, everybody's out, everybody's feeling depressed and in a mess. And Jesus shows up, and when he shows up, he comes with the intentions of raising him to life. He knew that he would live, but there was just one little problem. Let me tell you what that problem was. John 11:39 puts it this way. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." He's saying, open the tomb. We're going to let him out. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, meaning Lazarus, said to him, Lord, by this time, there is a stench. The King James puts it this way. It stinketh. And so he's dead, and he's stuck. He's dead, and he's stuck. Why are you wrapping me up, sir? I'm trying to... Well, we'll let him do what he's doing. But I want you to think about this. Jesus comes with the intention of raising him to life. And everyone has given up on Lazarus. In fact, they've packaged him tightly. They've wrapped him up. Why? Because he's dead. And so here's what Martha is saying. Martha is saying, Jesus, he stinks. And because he stinks, that declares that he's done. That declares that there's no hope. There's no turning back from this, which leads me to a point. The tomb gives us a way out, but we still have to come out. Jesus showed up to bring dead things to life. And here's what Martha does when Jesus shows up. She labels him. She labels Lazarus. In essence, it's like she restricts Lazarus. She might as well have wrapped him up like this brother wrapped me up. I doubt Lazarus looked like this. I doubt he looked this good. But they wrap him in grave clothes, and Martha agrees with the grave clothes, and she says, he stinks. There's no hope. And you know, friends, life is like that when it comes to our nature apart from God, this thing called sin. We take it on like a label. We take our mistakes on like grave clothes, and we wear them. And those things restrict us. They restrict us in our thinking. They restrict us in our faith. They restrict us in our belief and in the opportunity that we have to step out into a brand new life. In essence, the stench is what keeps us stuck. We hold to that stinking thinking. that stinking believing. But you see, those things did not restrict Jesus. Those mistakes do not restrict Jesus in your life. I remember that I was that kid that went to church on Sunday, and from Monday to Saturday, I went the opposite direction. I was the kid who raised my hands in church and did some dirt at the same time. And believe it or not, at the age of 15, I accepted a label in my life. You see, a pastor told me, you got to understand, please don't knock churches. They just didn't know any better. They were super religious, super restrictive, and they saw no other way. It was very legalistic. I grew up in a church where beautiful women could not even put on makeup or earrings, where their hair had to be up a certain type of way. You had to dress a certain type of way. God forbid you wore sneakers with a suit. So who does that, by the way? Sneakers with a suit, right? Who does that? Like, who would do that? This guy right here does that. But what's crazy is it was so legalistic, so religious in the wrong way. I had a tendency, I would go to the movies, man. RKO's was the spot for $5. Popcorn and a movie for $5. I was in there. We were watching everything. And so the pastor got wind of that. And here was the label that he put on me that I accepted at the age of 15. He says, son, there's no more salvation for you. He says, you are completely rebellious against the things of God. You're going to hell. I want you to think about that in the mind of a 15-year-old. You know what I rationalized? Well, the pastor said, I'm going to hell. Must be true. So I might as well burn on the way there. And that stench caused me to be stuck, to struggle, to live with a stranglehold on my heart where I believed I was no good for God. I was unreachable. I was unlovable. And so I lived a reckless life. And hey, maybe that's not your story, but we all take on some labels if we're not careful. Some of them have to do with the way we were brought up. Some of them have to do with the experiences that we've had in a place that they call the church that isn't the church. Right? Because the church is not a building. The church is a people. The church is a body. The church is a community. Right? The church is a place where the love of God, the goodness of God leads man to a repentance. We don't beat people with the word. We love people with the word. We teach the word. We don't compromise it. We don't water it down. We don't make excuses for what we believe, but because we love people, we don't beat people with the word. But you see, we all carry these labels. In other words, all of us, to some extent, have a little Lazarus in us if we're not careful. And so for me, I was labeled a failure by the church. Then I was labeled a failure by my family. Then I was labeled a failure by my own estimate. And all the labels that I wore as grave clothes. And what I didn't know then, that I learned later, and I'm still learning, because I still have to remember this, is this. It's how Jesus responds. See, the Bible tells us in John 11:43 that Jesus said, after he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Come out. Come out. I know that at times we feel stuck. I know that at times we feel like this struggle is a strangle. I know that there are times where those habits, those mindsets, those beliefs, those erroneous paths that we continue to take, I know that there are times when we believe, I have no way out. I can't help myself. You are absolutely right. You can't help yourself. That's why you and I need help. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. The most freeing realization that we can have is that Jesus does not label us. Instead, he levels the playing field for us by removing them, by taking them off. When I realized that he wasn't holding sin against me, it set me free to come out of it. Listen to what the scripture says. We're going to read a scripture in a second, but see, here's the reality. Jesus told Lazarus to come out of the grave. But Lazarus still had to take a step. Let me encourage somebody that needs to hear this today. Let me speak to somebody's heart that maybe is joining us online. Let me encourage you with this. You don't have to stay there. We have a way out. Way out. See, God is not asking us to make our way out. God is asking us to take the way out. And in the same way that Lazarus had to come out, you and I have to make a decision to come out. To come out, to step out of that strangle, out of that struggle. You see, friends, today I want to leave you with this thought. And it's this. It's that you and I can't take off our own grave clothes. You can't do it. You can't take off the labels. You can't take off the stench, the stink that leaves you stuck. You and I can't do that. We can't do that. You know why? Because like a skunk, you know, a skunk stinks to everyone but himself. A skunk thinks he's doing a good thing, like, psst. And sometimes we don't realize our stink. We don't realize we're stuck. And so we live with it. And we try. And we work at it. And we do the best that we can to be good people. We try to change our way of doing things. We try to go in a different direction, and we find ourselves there again and again and again in the stink, in the stench, stuck, struggling. You know what I love about this moment? Let me just say this. One of the most frustrating things that we all face on this journey to healing while following Jesus is that we all still wear some grave clothes. You can be lost without Jesus or found in a relationship with Jesus, but either way, you can still be bound by the things that you've experienced. And what I love about this moment is how Jesus dealt with the stink. Listen to what the scripture says in John 11:44. This is where we land today. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to who? Them. Jesus said to them, loose him. Let him go. What I love about this moment, when Lazarus steps out of the grave, is that although Jesus called him to step out, he used people to help him remove the grave clothes that restricted him, to take off the stink of death. Can I say this? It's very possible that somebody needs to hear this today. It's why you're surrounded by all these people around you. One of the most trying things for us is that we lack an understanding of how God works. I want you to think about this. When God decided to to save me. To save you. Let me put that in practical terms. To extend his hand out. He came in the form of a person. Of a man. And why would God have to do that? Because we created the stink. We created the mess. We make the mistakes. And because we create the stink, justice says we're supposed to be the ones that fix it, but we can't. And so Jesus came in the form of a man. Here's the reality. God has not stopped coming and working and showing himself and speaking to our lives independent of people. I want you to do something with me. Look all around you. Look to your left. Look to your right. Look in front of you. Look behind you. Hey, it's very possible that the reason why you're here is because God wants to help you through the hands of others to take off your grave clothes. Friends, don't let the pastor title fool you. I need help. We all need help. And I thank God that when he looked upon my life, just like he looked upon yours, he didn't say, ooh, he stinks. Ooh, he's dead. Now you got to understand that the reason why Jesus rose from the dead and made a way out for us is because he had to demonstrate to Satan and the entire world that there is no man, there is no woman, there is no person that can find themselves stuck in a stink that can't be raised to new life. You see, friend, you're not done. You're not done. You're not done. Your family's not done. Your home's not done. Your marriage isn't done. Your kids aren't done. Your community's not done. Your life is not done. Would you rise with me today? And as you rise, I want you to relate with us in this. That in the same way that Lazarus had to step out the tomb, you and I have to step out too. It's very possible there's someone here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Friends, this isn't about religion. This isn't about making yourself better for God. This isn't about doing something for God. No, this is about accepting what Jesus says. Come out. Come out. Take off the clothes. Take off the stink. I love you. You're still mine. You're still worth it. There's still more in store for you. If you believe that today, then you must know this. The reason why Jesus died on a cross wasn't because they crucified him. It was because he willingly paid a price that was yours and mine to pay. And the reason why he paid it was so that we would no longer owe God anything. Now we could receive relationship with him freely. If you believe that with us, let's take a moment before God. Father, we thank you for what you've done in Jesus. Lord, you love us. You see past our messes. You're writing a new story. And today, Lord, we are reminded that your resurrection is also our resurrection. That the same way you came out of the tomb, We have a way out of dead things in life. We no longer have to live by death, by paper cuts. Oh no, Lord, we're free.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for joining us here at Church of the Bridge today. I pray that you had a personal encounter with God, that he spoke to you powerfully, and that he met you at your place of need with this message. I also want to encourage you to go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page. By doing so, you'll be able to check out past messages, past events that we've done. You'll also be able to see what's happening now and those things that are to come. And lastly, I'd like to invite you to join with us in all that God is doing with your giving. Feel free to do so on our website. Again, thank you again for joining us, and I can't wait to connect with you next week.